Blog Talk Radio.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. Real Talk.
Hey, this is Robin Lord Taylor, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's up? It's Logan Browning, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Real Talk.
Hey, I'm Dina Liu, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hi, I'm Diane Franklin from Better Off Dead and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures. You're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Real Talk.
Hey guys, it's Chrissy DePaul here, and you are listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Jai White, Byron Man from Black Dynamite. And you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is China Lane. You are listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio. So keep it locked, keep it hot. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Verduga, a.k.a. Justice Woman, and you're listening to Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio.
Hey, what's going on? It's your boy Dennis White here on Real Talk with the Director on Dollhouse Radio. Tune in tonight and get the real, the real.
Real Talk. All I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
Once again, the number is 646-595-4038. Welcome again. We're back. Real Talk. The Director and the Jedi Council, and the time has come. Finally, we are down to the last 4 days before the premiere, before the awakening of the Force. And I tell you, a lot of anticipation, a lot of excitement, a lot of just a lot of everything. A lot of people wondering what's going to happen, you know. I tell you, this is something I feel really, really good about the next few days. And for all those who are not going to be able to get out to see this film, I feel sorry for you. That's all I can say. And I just want to say before we get started, to the guy at at the office here that I work out of that happened to say, I am not interested in watching any Star Wars movie. Guess what? All I really have to say to you is,
don't make me destroy you.
And so that's pretty much all we got to say to him. Don't make me destroy you. And I tell you, first of all, even if you're not a fan for whatever reason, why would you sit around and just hate on the people who want to just have fun. This is their thing. This is a culture. This is not just a movie. This is a culture. People follow this film, this franchise, for years. This is a, this is generations of movie material, classic material. I mean, it is just powerful.
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
If you only knew the power of the dark side. I don't know. This is just, I'm having fun. Anyway, Real Talk is sponsored by Dollhouse Radio and Dave Morrell. Dollhouse Radio and Dave Morrell. And broadcast to you live via the World Wide Web through blogtalkradio.com. I am the director, as we all know. I brought my Jedi Council with me. If you don't believe me, well, here they go. Kev, to my left or right. And Ralph, to my left or right. I don't know which one. I don't know where you are, but I know you're there.
I pity a fool that don't like Star Wars.
The force is strong with this one. Wake up.
I told him. I said, dude, that's exactly what I said to him. I had to come home and hit the Vader on him because I said those exact words to him. I said, don't make me destroy you. He's like, what are you talking about? He don't get it.
I got a super duper heads up for everybody. I got a treat. My man J-Oki, one of my Facebook friends from Chicago, somehow got his hand on the plot synopsis.
Oh, finally, right? Okay.
What doing? And I stopped reading at a lightsaber plummets from the sky. Or, excuse me, plummets or falls from the sky. I can't go back and look at it now. But basically it said a lightsaber falls from the sky. And
that was the beginning and you stopped?
Yeah, and I stopped. Actually, I read a little bit more because it said it plummets, it goes into the atmosphere, it falls to wherever, whatever the planet is, it lands on, and then a hand reaches out to grab it, and I stopped. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it to myself, man. I'm thinking about going back and sharing it, and that was just part one. And it supposedly there's a new part to it. So I don't know.
The funny thing about this, I'm glad you brought that up because this is. It only gets like this when Star Wars movies, well, when new Star Wars movies come out. Like, for instance, when The Phantom Menace came out, you know, people were like, yeah, I don't want to know what's going to happen. I don't know what it's like. I mean, people knew what the story was going to be about because of the fact that they were going back. But I like the fact that, you know, you don't see too many films that's coming out where people don't want to know nothing about it, right? Like, I see a lot of people, and I'm like, nope, I don't want to know nothing. I don't want to know nothing. They're not even, I got dudes that's not even watching trailers because they don't, I'm like, dude. Now, my natural instinct is to, yeah, I'm going to watch a trailer. I might even read an article. It's different to me. It doesn't spoil for me because I'm going to watch it anyway, and I'm going to enjoy it, and I'm going to be surprised. Even if I ain't surprised, I'm going to be surprised. And it's never truly what they say it is, meaning, like, even if these things leak, there's always something a little different when these things get out, because normally an older version of that plot probably leaked
out,
and,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Right. As we all know, as filmmakers ourselves, a script is a living script. It changes and evolves as you go. So you can always be like, even if the first draft of the, I'll be willing to bet you, the first draft of this film is almost completely different than what it is now, than the final draft. You know what I mean?
I can definitely confirm that, because just from watching that little stint of, that they had on 60 Minutes last night with J.J. Abrams. You could tell that, like, a lot changed. Like, this thing just evolved and just switched and moved. This dude said, in his exact words, he basically, just to paraphrase what he said, I had to basically cut off my fanboyism and just direct the film. He said there was no place for me, there was no place and time for me to be a fan. I had to just direct the film.
Yeah. So he's going to enjoy this whole situation. I heard the red carpet. They had a premiere, red carpet premiere, and they had, I saw a picture of somebody with C-3PO and R2-D2 on the red carpet. And I'm like, wow, that must have been really, really cool. But I'm going to tell you, man, there's a lot of questions, a lot of what, you know, that's going to be answered. People, you know, a lot of people was hitting me up like, yo, man, what are y'all going to really talk about? I said, look, I decided not to make this show, well, number one, it's not long. It's a special time tonight because we had to, you know, make some shift around the schedule. It's not going to be a long show because, number one, you know, we're only talking about this, and we don't want to talk too much or in depth because we don't want to, you know, people to, you know, we still want people to listen to the show. We don't want people to not want to listen to it because we're not saying anything, you know what I mean? So, I mean, we're saying too much. So, anyhow, but, you know, we'll talk about the things that we know about, you know, and some of these characters. I mean, they've done a good job. First thing I want to say, they've done a good job at keeping things under wraps, which proves, once again, if you really don't want people to know stuff, you can keep it under wraps. And they've done a fabulous job doing that. Not one real leak, you know, this, that. Yeah, I'll tell you, and that's because I guess it helps when you have your own private, you know, like, branch. You know, no one, you know, I'm sorry, they probably strip search everybody that walks on that damn property. You know, they probably like, strip down and bend over. We will make sure you ain't got a camera nowhere.
No cell phones allowed on set.
Oh, you know that. You know that. That's okay. Like you said, I echo you on that. That's a guarantee. No damn cell phones on set. You probably can't have anything. They may have, like, you know, beepers or a landline or something like that. And, you know, in case of emergency, just call the studio, and, you know, if there's an emergency. Like for any of the actors that got kids or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
You know what it was really like. They have parents. There's two parents, right? Okay. Yeah. They'll get contact with you. When you get out, check your messages.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what it is. But one thing I want to talk about really quickly, J.J. Abrams, they also premiered the Star Trek trailer, which I'm sure is going to be in Star Wars, I'm sure. I got a quick look at a first trailer for Star Trek.
I didn't like it.
I didn't watch it.
Why didn't you like it?
I just didn't. It was moving too fast, and I couldn't really.
It was quick.
Figure out what was going on. I mean, is the Enterprise destroyed? That's what it looks like.
Smoke some weed, man, and make the screen slow down.
it just looked like, because the guy that did it is the guy that did the Fast and Furious movie. Like, it was like Fast and Furious in space. That's what it looked like to me.
Right.
But, you know, I'm sure if they played again on Thursday, because I will be there Thursday to watch the movie. I was trying to do it tonight, but I couldn't do it. But, you know, I'll take a second look at it now on the big screen with the sound and everything. And if it looks, I don't know, maybe it was just me. Maybe it was something I take one or two viewings to take a look at.
I wasn't trying to watch that. I wasn't trying to watch the Independence Day trailer, which I'm pretty sure that's going to be in there.
Oh, that was hot. I did like that one.
Yeah, I just avoided it because I was just looking at it and I was like, oh, this is different. Just looking at, you know how they have the screen pause for YouTube? Mm-hmm. And I was just looking at that scene and I was like, you know what? This looks like it's going to be sick. I'm not messing with this. I'll wait to see the trailer.
Did you catch the Independence Day trailer, the new trailer, the new one?
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. That's the one I said I'm not going to watch. I just can't, and I'm not going to watch Star Trek one. I'm not watching nothing else until Thursday. I've watched the Batman. Yo, you both were so on point, not the 50th, but yo, that Dawn of Justice trailer was, it was everything. Oh. That trailer was everything.
Right, and then to see that X-Men trailer behind, after watching that, you're like, really? I think you need to come a little harder than that, so pause.
Yeah, Apocalypse looks like a Stargate reject. Just, what the hell was that?
A Stargate reject. Oh, my God. Yo, I'll tell you, man. I don't know what the hell. First of all right, let's go back to Superman, Batman. First of all, I told y'all, and I wanted to make sure I told you this on air. I told you, dude. I said this from the beginning. Zack Snyder ain't playing with y'all.
At all. Jesse Eisenberg was like, you don't want to pick a fight with this guy. I'm like, yo.
Yo. Let me tell you something.
I just don't understand. Yo, that one piece right there, I'm like, I was losing it. Just at that one piece right there. Because some people just don't understand the significance of him doing that. It's just like, I love bringing people together. Yo, I love this dude as Lex Luthor already. Like, I've already forgotten about Luthor's face. Gene Hackman. I forgot about him. He don't even exist no more.
Oh,
Kevin
man.
Spacey who?
I know, right? Yeah, let me tell you something, dude. First of all, I tell people all the time, I've been getting the flack for Affleck for supporting Affleck. Now, of course, we haven't seen the film yet. And I keep telling me, you ain't seen the film yet. You ain't seen the film yet. Yeah, I understand that. People keep coming at me about that.
He's going to kill me.
I said, already his voice is better than Christian Bale's voice. I said, you heard him. He already got a better Batman voice. I said, you know, Christian Bale.
Sound full.
Where's your trigger? Where's your trigger? Where's your trigger? And I hate to pick on Bale because he did do a good job, but I'm just saying that was just what was up with that, man. Like, you can't find your voice. I'm like, how come the only person who really got the voice right was Michael Keaton?
No, I disagree with that. No, it ain't Michael Keaton. It's the guy that plays Batman in the animated series. That guy got the Batman voice.
No, he's I'm talking about out of the movies. Yeah, he's the best. They're the best. That dude.
Yeah, that guy is the best.
I forget his name. Oh, he is no joke. I forget his name, and he plays in all the movies. He used to do the animated series, and they decided to get him in all the movies as well. All the Justice League movies.
They put him in the video games because he just got that voice.
That's the man. I'm just saying, out of the movies, I was okay with Michael Keaton's voice. You know what I'm saying? His Batman voice. He didn't do it. It wasn't much of a difference when he talked as Bruce Wayne, but it was different.
Yeah, and Ben Affleck just he sounds natural. Now, my whole problem with Ben Affleck wasn't him being Batman, because in my personal opinion, he killed Daredevil. I loved him as Daredevil.
Mm-hmm. Right. A lot of people don't think he did, but I agree with you. I think he did what he could with what he was given. I keep telling people, Daredevil was a bad script. He didn't do a bad job. It was just a bad movie.
And they had everything perfect about that except for the script. Everything visually looked good about it, but the script was just, But like I was saying,
yeah, so anyway,
I the only thing I'm not sure about is him as Bruce Wayne. That was my only. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I don't want to say I'm nervous about, but that's the only thing I'm a little bit on the fence about. Him playing Batman, that was never a concern to me because I knew.
Yeah, well, when you think about it, that's what everyone says. I know our buddy Bruce Penn. He always says that too. He's like, well, you know, anyone could put on the suit, but who could step in? Anyone could put on the mask, but who could put on the suit? That's what he meant, meaning the Bruce Wayne suit. Which is true. You know, it's about playing that Bruce Wayne. But like I said, the Bruce Wayne that they're trying to capture in this, it looks like it's coming together.
Bruce Wayne.
It looks like it's coming together, man.
Let's be honest about it. It's not even Bruce Wayne. He's only Bruce Wayne in face and in name. It's actually just Batman with the suit because he's so damn angry and pissed off. So it's just really Batman. Because look at him. Throughout the every scene in that trailer, well, a few scenes they show in the trailer, he has facial hair. When do you remember Bruce Wayne ever running around, except for when he was going to chase after Ra's al Ghul, and I think even then he was clean shaven. So, you know, outside of that, Bruce Wayne never really walked around with stubble, looking like the Punisher.
Looking like the Punisher. Yo, that's what he's feeling like. Yo, but
yes,
I mean,
he did.
What about
he called
that
a comedian
scene?
From Watchmen.
Yes, he did. The comedian,
From Watchmen.
Yo, but here's the funny thing. Check this out. What about that scene where he says to like, kind of funny, you know, the planet criticizing, you know, he's like, you guys, every time this guy gets somebody out of a tree, you write a big expose on him. You know, he's like an alien that could burn the whole planet down. He's like,
even before that, because that was funny, but when he said to him, this what makes you think, like, do they know who each other are? And I guess Eisenberg came
in.
He said, I don't like. What did he say about them in clown suits?
He said, that must be the Gotham. We don't like guys in clown suits.
He said the Gotham in me. You know, he said we don't take to. He said
we don't
something
take to
about clown suits. Yeah, he said, to maniacs in clown suits or something like that, he said. I was like, oh, man, that was crazy. But he went with that. That was dope. I don't know, man. It was a really, really, really good trailer. So, I mean, back to our Star Wars, like I said, we're going back and forth only because I don't want to go too hard with it, but... and the weekend recap, of course, over that weekend. Anything on the weekend recap really doesn't matter after this week.
No,
wait a minute. One thing does. Right, I got two questions. Right. How much does Star Wars need to gross this weekend to really challenge Avatar for all-time record? And then how big do you think the gap is going to be between – number one, obviously, is going to be Star Wars, and whatever movie is number two. Let's just say it's The Hunger Games.
Number two will definitely be Hunger Games, more than likely, because it depends. Because In the Heart of the Sea, this weekend debuted at number two, and Hunger Games made $11 million. The Heart of the Sea made $11 million. Hunger Games made a little bit more. The gap, I believe. Well, first, here's question number one. You asked about Avatar, right?
Yeah, because I look at it like this, right? The last two movies to open over $200 million, right, which was The Avengers and Jurassic World, okay? Mm-hmm. But around $550-$600 million, they started to lose steam, right? Mm-hmm. So now,
well, the all time, so Avatar's all time domestic gross.
Right, it's like $757 million.
760 now at this point.
Okay, so if it opens around two, like Jurassic World opened at 207. So if it opens at 207, how much do you think it really needs to make this weekend to legitimately challenge Avatar for number one all time?
Oh, okay. For number one all time. Wow. Mm. Okay, so I think for the weekend to legitimately challenge it, the list, because Avatar is number one all time domestic gross for Lifetime. Remember, Avatar came out in 2009, right? So Jurassic World is already at 652. So that's Jurassic World right now. 652, and it just came out this year. So Jurassic World is on target to possibly catch it, but I don't think it will because it's short over 100 million.
Well, no, right? it's not going to catch it because it's already out on DVD. Yeah. It's already out.
It's done. It's already out on DVD. Yeah.
Right.
So there you go.
See, if you look at that list, like I said, the last two movies, there was the only two movies that opened over 200 million. Jurassic World and Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Around that 650 figure, they start losing steam. Now, that's during the summertime. So with Star Wars opening this weekend, how much does it legitimately... Because look like this. The first 2 weeks are going to be the biggest weekends.
Yeah.
Right? And you hope because you have this weekend, and then next week you go into Christmas, so you get like that extra holiday money. And then right behind it, you got New Year's. You're gonna get that holiday money. So how much does it legitimately need to open with this week for you to say, you know what? It now this movie legitimately got a chance to catch Avatar in the long run. Eventually catch it. So
I think it's gonna catch it even if it's at 250. I think it's gonna catch it.
Yeah, and I totally agree with Wes because I got a feeling. Go ahead, Wes. I'm sorry.
No, because they're going to – it's going to be 250. You know, it's going to run through to next year. They're going to stretch it, and then they're going to stretch everything out throughout the year. By the time the end of next year, Christmas comes back around, because they're going to hold off for the DVD. You watch. They're going to hold that shit probably the next year, Christmas. You watch. They take their time on that stuff. And by the time that comes back around, it'll catch him. By next year, I'm going to say
what is Avatar at that right now? What's their final theater number?
It's 760.
760 million Lifetime gross Avatar. Second to that is Titanic.
So that's including DVD sales, or that's just movie tickets?
I think that's everything. It's just movie tickets.
It's just movie tickets.
Lifetime gross.
Okay, I'm just gonna walk off the limb. I'm in an evergreen, about 500 feet high. I'm just gonna walk off. Star Wars is going to knock it out the box the first week because nobody really knows what the actual numbers are, being that it's completely sold out. Add to the fact that it's probably opening in more theaters than Avatar did, so that's going to help boost those numbers. On top of that, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that this movie is probably going to open roughly around 280, 270.
Wow.
Yeah, because Avatar opened up in 3,400 theaters, 3,461 theaters. Close date was August 12, 2010. And the open date was, when did it come out?
It came out in December, December or something.
Yeah.
December 18, 2009. So that shit was running through almost a year. You know, that it was, I guess, legitimately out. Yeah, of course, it was, you know, probably in later on down the line. It was in select theaters, blah, blah, blah. But, in release for 238 days, 34 weeks. That Star was Wars, Avatar.
That
Star Wars is going to go.
I'm telling
it's
you.
Gonna go, it's going to go through
this,
that.
Yeah, I got a feeling. This movie, between now, I say between now and February, it's probably going to make close to $400 or $500.
Probably so. I don't know. I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, you got to think about this.
You got to include
think
people
about
like
this. The Phantom Menace is number 6 on that all-time domestic gross list, and that was made in 1999. You know what I'm saying? So, once again, in anticipation, Phantom Menace was the most anticipated film of those new films. Okay, now, I think because Phantom Menace was not as good as everyone hoped it would have been, might have hurt the other films. I mean, and I don't mean hurt. The films did great, but I'm just saying hurt the other films as far as them surpassing Phantom Menace in gross sales and stuff like that.
Yeah, you said it right. The other movies didn't really move until word of mouth started saying, like, oh, this is actually better than Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
Yeah, Phantom Menace sucks. It's except until like 1 hour 45 minutes with Darth Maul coming in. You're like, oh.
Right, but it was
now
it was well anticipated. It was highly, highly, highly anticipated, right? So, so I'm going to say it's going to open. I say it needs to open at least 250, and I think it will open. I think it will open higher than 250, and that's what I think it needs to be to jumpstart. To get to over Avatar. Boy, James Cameron, he's something else, right? You got Avatar, and number 2 on the list is Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
Still. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, okay. Now, Jurassic World, that's very impressive for them to move up to number 3 after just being released in the summer of this year. You know what I'm saying? Marvel's The Avengers, okay. The Dark Knight still holding a solid 5 spot, but then you got Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. But it's funny because number 7 on the list is the original Star Wars. It's still got a lifetime.
Wow.
So okay, fine. But this is the thing, man. This is a new, like I said, how many years has it been since Revenge of the Sith? How many years has it been?
10 years,
I
can't
think of it now. Has it been 10 years? Yeah.
10 years.
It's 10 years later.
Yeah.
It's 10 years later, in real time, in our time. I'm sure it's way more years later than that. But obviously, because Revenge of the Sith. But, yeah, it's 10 years. It was 2005 when Sith came out. So, whew. This is anticipated, man. And because of the hush-hush and not knowing what's what and who's who, I mean, because I'm sorry. I'm asking questions like, you know, who are these people? who the hell is Kylo Ren? I mean, I know who he is, but I want to know who is he. You know what I'm saying?
What's the black guy character's name again? I keep forgetting. Finn? Oh, Finn. Last night when I was watching the thing on 60 Minutes where they were doing the short little behind the scenes, which wasn't really a behind the scenes, they were mostly talking to Jesus. They really didn't show anything. They showed one desert scene and one behind the scenes when they were in Abu Dhabi filming in the desert. And outside of that, they really didn't show much. But the commentator, I think it was Les Holt. Is that his name? I can't remember what his name is. But the commentator from 60 Minutes, he said a line, and it stuck in my head. He called Finn a disillusioned stormtrooper. And I'm like, wait a minute. But Finn is not a stormtrooper. One, he's too short to be a stormtrooper. That's first off.
They always say that. But, I mean, they say a disillusioned stormtrooper. So what is he... You know, is he a Jedi that was maybe made to believe he was a stormtrooper? Who knows? Maybe he got manipulated or something, or brainwashed, or
I want to know what that means, because from what I saw, I just assumed, like a lot of other people, well, except for the ignorant ass people, I just assumed that he was in disguise or undercover, for lack of a better phrase. But now, after hearing him say that and knowing that he was behind the scene, where else could he have gotten that line from? I mean, he talked to J.J. Abrams. They talked to Spielberg. Well, Spielberg was just because we all know this. The reason why J.J. Abrams got the role is because Spielberg said that nobody else could pull this off but him. So I'm trying to figure, where did this guy, where did he get that from? And it's just messing me up. So is he really a stalker? And then, like he said in the line in the newer trailer, which I still love. I still love that. I love the fact that they put that out, because to me, just in my own opinion, that was like the same thing they did with Don Cheadle in Iron Man when he came as War Machine, when he replaced Terrence Howard. I'm here, get over it. I felt it was kind of sort of the same thing, like, you don't know nothing about me.
Mm-hmm.
Sit your ass down and shut up. So exactly. Now I'm really wondering, like, is he a stormtrooper? Like, what? This is just torture, man. And it's 2 days. I got to wait two whole freaking days. And I got all my iPod on deck. I got my carry charger, because I was going to go to the movies for the day and then go sit online. But I'm going to go to work, and then I'm going to leave like at 3 o'clock, and I'm just going to sit there for 4 hours. Because I need to get that hand. Y'all might find me on the news, because I may just have to throw somebody out in the capacity. And Lord, forgive me if they have a helper or aide that needs that seat. I'm like, you don't have to sit your ass on the floor, because this is my seat. I'm West Ferry RPX, that theater, is that seat is the perfect seat to watch any movie. I watched Mad Max from that seat, and I was just like, I was blown away. It was like the perfect spot to sit. You got the total immersed in the screen, and the sound was just the sound in RPX. I don't see why people spend all their money on IMAX. I mean, IMAX is dope. Don't get me wrong. I saw one of the X-Men in IMAX. They actually showed it in the IMAX theater, and it was crazy. It wasn't even filmed in IMAX, and it was crazy. But RPX is like, it's just fucking awesome, and I can't wait.
Well, I got a question. Which is better, the RPX in Regal Cinemas or the AMC Prime?
I can't really say, because I never did the AMC. I never watched the movie in the AMC Prime, because they don't have any AMC Primes around here, so I can't really speak on that. I can't really. I would have to go sit in the AMC Prime. And the only difference I would assume between the two is AMC, being that it's an AMC theater, I would assume the AMC Prime seats are all let's help you out. You know what I'm talking about.
But the recliner seat.
Yeah, pre-assigned seat and recliners. Whereas RPX, if the only way I can describe it are as real comfortable Euro sport seat. Like when you go into the tuner cars, like the Euro tuner cars, like the Hondas and all that stuff, and they have those those bucket seats. It's like a cross between that and a nice comfy seat. You know, the bottom part, the back is almost like a bucket seat, but the bottom part is real cushiony, and it's not a recliner, but it's still comfortable. It's very comfortable. It's more comfortable than some of the AMC theaters that have they're not recliners, but they rock back and forth. The back actually leans back, which is kind of sort of uncomfortable. So it's a little bit more comfortable than those, but it's not a recliner. I don't know. Have you been to a Prime?
I've been to one. I went to one. The one when I was in Chicago, I went to one. That was nice. But I haven't been to the AMC Prime either.
I kind of know what the screen sizes are now. Now I'm going to have to go on and check it out, see what the screen sizes are, how it's laid out. Because that's for me, for a true movie experience, like I used to spend, I'm just going to put it out there, I used to sneak in. I would go see one movie because I just was not paying. I did not feel I needed to pay $18 to go see a movie in RPX, especially certain movies. Like Star Wars, movies like that I really want to see, I don't mind paying $18. But for Puff the Magic Dragon, I'm not paying fucking $18. Like, they had, pissed me off. I can't remember what movie it was. I'm sorry to sidetrack, but this pissed me off. They had Magic Mike and RPX.
That was for the girls.
I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with y'all? I can't, but there was another movie out that they could have put in that theater. And stuck them damn fat-ass women in, excuse me, sorry, horny asses in to watch some daggone Magic Mike. You don't put Magic Mike XXL in RPX. Don't nobody want to see that in RPX? I guess women, but...
That's women. That would be the same thing if they put Sex in the City in an RPX theater. It ain't for guys, it's for girls.
Listen, if they ever do that, I'm burning the theater down. I'm going to jail for arson. Because that's sacrilege. You don't do that. You just don't do that.
Okay, so now check this out, guys. did a little research when you said what that guy said. So now, on the Force Awakens Wikipedia page, John Boyega as Finn is described as a redeemed First Order stormtrooper.
What?
Boyega said that he learned he obtained the part over a nice breakfast in Mayfair where Abrams told him, John, you're the new star of Star Wars. Boyega said when we find Finn, he's in incredible danger, and the way he reacts to the danger changes his life and launches him into the Star Wars universe in a very unique way. He said in another interview, he's been taught about Luke. He knows about his history. For him, it's like joining the army and then learning about one of the great enemies of of your country.
Good Lord.
He is in possession of a lightsaber that belongs to Luke and Anakin before him.
That
is Luke's. That green lightsaber. That's Luke's lightsaber, or was it blue? He had the green one,
but
right?
But wait a minute. Hold it. How does he get Luke's lightsaber? Because Luke lost his lightsaber when he got his hand cut off.
But
he had the blue one. Then he got the green one. So how in the world did he get this blue lightsaber that was Luke's?
Because the Death Star blew up. Now, remember, now, Wes is saying, now I go back to the synopsis that I was reading from Jay's page. The lightsaber falls into the atmosphere.
Falls from the sky. Yeah.
So
That has to be.
Now, if it's anything, that has to be. Now, is that from after? Well, yeah, because this is 30 years after Return of the Jedi, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So that means they're on. He must be on Endor, because that's the last. Wasn't that the last place where the Death Star was? Was outside of Endor?
Yeah, but wait a minute. Didn't you just say that the lightsaber that he has is Luke's lightsaber, right? It's not Vader's. It can't be Vader, because Vader's lightsaber is red.
Mm-hmm.
He's wielding a blue lightsaber, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Luke got his hand cut off in Empire.
I thought Obi-Wan's was blue.
It was blue, but Obi-Wan's was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
When Obi-Wan died, you know, his lightsaber was gone.
Well,
I assume
we're going to find out how this allegedly happened.
Exactly, because my whole thing is that Luke got his hand cut off in Empire when he was on Bespin. Right, and you saw his hand come out of the shaft, like when Luke comes out and he's trying to bring himself back. You see the hand falling out of the shaft. So were you saying that Boyega's family or him was on the planet Bespin, which was a gas planet?
And somehow the lightsaber magically, mysteriously fell into his hand?
No, I'm not saying, I'm not going to say that. I'm not sure how it's going to work. But I mean,
no,
if that's the case,
it didn't fall into
maybe
his hand. When it fell through the atmosphere, you know, it fell through space, and then it fell, and actually that's what it said. It said it was falling through space. It didn't say it like it fell from it. So let me correct that, because it actually said it was falling through space, and then it went through the atmosphere of a planet. Now,
so the metal was strong enough to survive entry into a planet.
It's a lightsaber.
The metal was strong enough to survive entry into a planet.
It is a lightsaber.
It's a lightsaber. It's a lightsaber. I mean, when have
I'm
you ever seen?
So let me read a couple other things. All right, so that was what I read about John Boyega as Finn, right? So Carrie Fisher as General Leia Organa, right? She is referred to as General Organa, or Organa, rather than Princess Leia. After the events of Return of the Jedi, she is described as, quote-unquote, a little more battle-weary, a little more broken-hearted. Fisher describes Leia as solitary, under a lot of pressure, committed as ever to her cause, but I would imagine feeling somewhat defeated, tired, and pissed. That's what she said. Abrams said, the stakes are pretty high in the story for her, so there was not much goofing around where Leia's concerned. So she's going to be a little more, you know. Well, she was kind of serious before, but, you know, ain't going to be no goofing off going on.
and thank you for that, because that now answers questions a lot of people who are out there who are, because somebody out there spreading the rumor that Princess Leia is not in this one, and I'm like, what are you talking about?
Of course she's in it. Yeah, of course. So,
now, Rob,
what
do you make you think that it's not indestructible?
Ralph.
I'm still trying. I'm still trying to get this one. The lightsaber survived entry into a planet.
He's still talking.
Won't let it go. He's not gonna let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a white guy going around December 24th in the sleigh with reindeer, going in through people's chimneys and giving them Christmas gifts.
He's Santa, man. You guys got,
you know what,
reindeer with a red nose. Why the hell?
But
you
know
what?
That would sound more believable if Boyega in the movie was a kid and he said, Santa, I want a lightsaber, and Santa gave him a lightsaber. I could believe that one. More than
I don't know.
Look,
first of all, okay, when they say that he comes in contact with Luke's lightsaber, it said with the lightsaber that belonged to Luke and Anakin before him. Okay, so that has to be the lightsaber that when he got his hand cut off, because the last lightsaber Luke had was a green one. Anakin's was not green. Anakin's was blue.
Right.
Anakin's lightsaber was blue. So,
Anakin's was blue.
The blue lightsaber was given to him by Obi-Wan, saying that was your father and stuff like that. So at that point, yeah, we're going to have to figure out. But, I mean, they'll probably, to be honest with you, a more logical thing as far as, I mean, now, I'm not going to sit here and argue about the lightsaber falling through space. I believe lightsabers are indestructible, so I ain't gonna argue about that.
Okay,
but
wait.
I guess
then, all right, I want to be clear about this. Let's just say lightsabers are indestructible. Have you seen a Star Wars movie where the lightsaber is destroyed?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
When? Which one?
Attack of the Clones? A lightsaber is destroyed by another lightsaber. And in Revenge of the Sith, a lightsaber is destroyed by a lightsaber.
Right, but by a lightsaber.
Yeah. By another lightsaber.
Okay, so once again, the lightsaber survived entry into a planet. A planet where, now this is strictly some geek stuff, But from what I've always understood, that if a spaceship goes into a planet, it has to have shields because it's got to survive the atmosphere to get into the planet. So this piece of metal, which it is a piece of metal.
Yeah, but it's not the
lightsaber is not created out of some type of special metal. The only thing that's unique about the lightsaber is the crystal. That makes it the color.
But Luke did build his own. His second lightsaber, he made that one.
Yes, he did, but he did not make it from a special metal. He made it from metal.
But listen, depending on the type of metal. Now, let's just be honest about this. Depending on the type of metal, what exactly is it made of? Because when spaceships enter and exit out of, well, in real life, when ships exited, when they do reentry, they reenter at a certain angle, and the clay tiles, or those tiles that they have at the bottom that are meant as a heat shield, that's what they use. In my opinion,
tiles come off. Some of them do come off,
right?
Because they're always replacing them.
Who's to say that the exterior structure of the lightsaber is not built out of something that possibly can deflect heat? And honestly, look at how small it is. I mean, it's coming in through the atmosphere, and the only thing that causes heat is because space is cold, so you're coming into heat, and also because of the friction. Of coming into the air friction coming in, that's the other thing that causes heat.
And one other little factor is speed. It's coming from the heavens into the ground. I mean, most things, when they come into gravity, it starts picking up speed. Nothing is slower.
That's true.
Right.
So let me try. It survived the coldness of space, the heat of the atmosphere, and crash landing into the ground. It survived.
No, it's a lightsaber. Mm-hmm. And
Maybe it was reconstructed. Maybe someone picked it up and reconstructed it. Or maybe someone found it, then reconstructed it.
Because
it doesn't mean it was in perfect, pristine condition.
Yeah, and
right?
The next
it doesn't
line
mean it was in pristine condition.
Yeah, and the next line it says is that a hand reaches down and picks it up. Now, we don't know how long after it crashed or when it crashed that hand goes and picks it up. And, hey, let's just also say that maybe it skinned the atmosphere. Maybe it came in at a special angle where it didn't get as hot.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what. Kevin, where do you live at? You live in New York, right? I want you to go to the bottom of the Brooklyn Bridge, right, and then knock on this door, and this leprechaun is going to come out and say, I got a pot of gold for you. Remember, Brooklyn Bridge, the New York side, not the Brooklyn side, the New York side. Knock on the door three times, say, leprechaun, leprechaun, leprechaun. A leprechaun's going to come out and go give you a pot of gold because you found a pot of gold.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm going to get my gold. Lightsabers are indestructible unless they're destroyed by another lightsaber.
Exactly.
Like I said, the Brooklyn Bridge, the New York City side, knock on the door, say, leprechaun, leprechaun, leprechaun. Don't say Beetlejuice, 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 leprechaun, leprechaun, leprechaun. And the leprechaun's going to come out and give you a pot of gold. Pot of gold and a pint of the best Guinness you've ever had in your life.
I will take that pint. I definitely will take that pint. That's very plausible. That can happen. I believe that part. And lightsabers.
I'm reading what their description of a lightsaber. A lightsaber's energy blade can cut, burn, and melt through most substances with light, with little resistance. It leaves, it can leave critical wounds in the flesh, but can be deflected by another lightsaber blade or by an energy shield. So I'm trying to see if it says anything about how a lightsaber, what it's made of. Bringing the blade into contact with another lightsaber blade produces a loud crackle. This is actually breaking down a lightsaber prop construction. I don't really care about props. I want to see what it's supposedly made of.
I'll tell you this much. While you're looking at that, I am so pissed off that
the force blade, Isaac's lucky stutter. The force blade, this is the force blade, is a short shaft of stainless steel which can project the force field cut through anything, making it developing. That's the concept origin. Okay. What was you saying, Kev? Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. About saying, the only thing I am kind of pissed off about is the fact that I waited too long and I didn't become Facebook friends with her until 2 weeks ago. But I completely forgot about my idea of doing my own robe, my own Sith robe, and going in face paint.
Oh,
okay. I wanted to cosplay for Thursday, and I just completely forgot about it. I might still go as Darth Maul, or maybe I'll just make a character up and glue some spikes on my head and just do some face paint. Being that I am clean shaven, so I probably could do my whole head, red and black, and just do something crazy and maybe wear a suit and have a lightsaber sticking off my side. But I was really looking
traditionally there are four types of lightsabers. The Shoto, which is used by Grandmaster Yoda for his statue, and says the curved hilt used by Count Dooku,
yep,
for lightsaber fencing, the light club, which is used by other large Jedi, and dual phase lightsaber, which can extend to almost twice the length by altering focus between two separate crystals inside. The video game for The Force Unleashed introduced two other variants of lightsabers. Okay, what else they have here? So just the universe adds several lightsabers types, including short and dual phase, adjustable length weapons. What else we got? Kylo Ren from The Force Awakens utilizes a new lightsaber design that features two cross hilt blades, giving the appearance of a sword. The lightsaber's blades funnels like fire and is outlined with red static electricity instead of solidifying into a smooth laser beam-like blade, suggesting a different mechanism in the hilt. Okay, well, it's not really saying what the hilts are made of. I'm sure there's something out there. We got to dig into the universe. I'm sure there's something.
Yeah,
like when I looked at this right here, 13 things you probably don't know about lightsabers. Okay, here we go. They were essentially created by the dark side. That's one thing. The first prototype lightsaber was called a Force Saber and was essentially dark side energy channeled into a blade via crystals. Number two, they used to need battery packs.
Yo, I like that second one that you said. That second one you said is ill. That you could project the force through the unit?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was called. It was called a force blade. A force saber. That's what they called it. They used to be called laser swords. Not in the Star Wars universe, just in George Lucas's early drafts of the Star Wars script. Lightsabers is very definitely an improvement. Luke and Darth Vader's lightsabers were made out of camera flashes. I guess they mean the props itself. Obi-Wan's hilt was made from a Rolls-Royce Derwent MK8, MK9 jet engine balance pipe. For a lightsaber can be any color. Lightsaber blades colors is determined by the crystal is used to focus the energy. Jedi and Sith alike could and did wield any color blade. The Sith got into the habit of using red after popular Darth Raven and Malex both used red lightsabers. Jedi fell into the habit of exclusively using blue and green when they started using the natural colors of the planet. Okay, a lightsaber can even be black. Ha! Isn't that funny? Although,
yeah, I remember in one of the books, the lightsaber is black. I think in one of the books, Han Solo's kid, before he turned to dark side, had a black lightsaber.
Oh, wow.
Known as dark, okay. Number 7, Luke's green lightsaber in Return of the Jedi almost didn't happen. Luke's new lightsaber was going to be blue and was even shown as such in early cuts. Lightsabers were actually illegal during the Empire. It was enough that Emperor Palpatine tried to kill all the Jedi. He made owning a lightsaber a crime. It is funny, man. Number 9, lightsaber blades are animated because the original special effects sucked. Number 10, lightsabers.
Well, that's the truth.
If you
still have it, the original Star Wars on either VHS or when they put the unaltered ones on DVD, you can see when Ben and there are certain scenes where Ben is using his lightsaber, you can actually see it fade out.
Oh, my
really?
God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Here's number 11. There are 7 forms of lightsaber combat. 1 is Shicho, or the way of the Sarlacc. Number 2 is Makashi, or the way of the... I can't pronounce that word. I can't pronounce none of these words. Forget it. We're going to go on to the next one. Number 12 is the final one. Lightsabers can't cut through everything. There are few materials that resist lightsaber blades and thus have often been used to make armor.
Let me guess.
Okay.
Vibranium and adamantium.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be funny? So Black Panther, Wolverine, and Captain America should be okay against lightsabers. That's it. Cutting off somebody's hand with a lightsaber is actually a technique. It's called Chomei. That's the technique that it's called. I still haven't found. I thought that would have the answer, Ralph. I was trying to find out what a lightsaber is made of. Anyway, so. Anyhow, guys, we'll have to see. It's going to be definitely interesting to see where they go with the storyline. Because trust me, Ralph, all these questions you're asking, the fanboys have asked these questions a million times. And I refuse to believe that J.J. Abrams would overlook something like that. So trust me, we're going to get an explanation as to what happened to the lightsaber. And how did it all of a sudden? Because everyone's going to know, like what you just said. I mean, common knowledge of the trilogies, I mean, of the franchise knows that, well, if it was Luke, the one that Luke had, he lost when his hand got cut off. So
exactly.
We'll have to see. But like what Kev said, that kind of sheds a little light on the whole... Because somebody's lightsaber falls to the ground, it has to be that one. So, but I think what it is I don't think it's going to be like it falls to the ground and someone picks it up right away. I think maybe they're going to show like a time lapse.
Yep.
Like they're going to show the lightsaber. They're going to show the lightsaber fall from space or whatever. And I think once it gets to wherever it gets to, there's going to be a time lapse of that lightsaber being
now,
there.
You know what? And now, it's not to cut you off, Wes, but now, being what Wes just said, Now, what the thing said is it was falling through space. Now, it survived, which if it's falling through space and it's Luke's lightsaber, the Death Star was completely decimated, completely blown up. Now, and it was probably nuclear, whatever it was, or along those lines. So if the lightsaber survived that, what is it, what's going through the atmosphere of a planet? If it actually survived the survived the explosion of...
The lightsaber fell before the Death Star exploded. Well, the Death Star exploded in the first movie, and then they were rebuilding it in Empire Strikes Back.
Right,
exactly.
They were rebuilding it. And then they blew it up again in Jedi. So,
right. So when it was in
it fell before it blew up.
Right. So when it was in, but it doesn't mean that it fell. It fell inside of the Death Star. It just fell down a shaft. We don't know whether it came out the other side of the shaft or if it came out another opening. It could have just been somewhere stuck inside the shaft in the Death Star until it exploded.
Well, it could have been, yeah. It could have still have been stuck somewhere in there. Or, that's true. It could be a million places. At that point, I guess all the way back then, making that because I'm looking at it from a writer perspective, and now I would be sitting here doing what we're doing right now, brainstorming into what would make sense of that lightsaber showing up again. You know what I'm saying? So just like what we're talking about now, you know, the pros, the cons, Ralph saying, I don't believe it, or, you know, you got to go through those phases in order to be able to come out with something that's going to satisfy, you know, the crazy fanboys that's going to try to lynch it if one thing is wrong.
Yeah, and which hopefully they'll explain how it actually survived going through the atmosphere and just traveling through all the space and still being functional.
Yeah, well, doesn't mean it was functional. You could take a lightsaber and reconstruct it.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? They can reconstruct it. Doesn't mean it had to work when they found it. You know what I'm saying? They could take it and reconstruct it, work on it. You know what I mean? So it's very, like I said, we'll see. I'm interested in that now. I'm going to be looking for that, especially. That's something we could talk about next time around. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and end the show because we already went over time. But, final predictions. First of all, here's what I'm saying, and this is just a prediction. I decided I'm going to throw out pull some shit out of my, out of nowhere and throw some predictions out. First prediction, and I have no, just for everyone who might be listening, this is not a spoiler alert or anything like that, because I have no idea what's going to happen. First prediction for me. Bold predictions. Let's get some bold predictions from everyone. My bold prediction is that Kylo Ren is going to be one of the Solo twins.
Ooh, I kind of echo that one.